What's up, guys? Welcome back to the 25 foot high outdoors podcast. 25 feet high? What are we? 25 high? It's just 25 high. That's what I always say. That's the abbreviated version. But it's a pretty special podcast today because not only are we at deer camp in a foreign place, kind of, we have two special guests with us. You want to introduce them, Cade?
We have Mr. Buddy Ziegler right here with 365 Outdoors. And we're going to give everybody a second to plug their stuff here in just a minute. Then we got Mr. Todd Brogdon with Native Sense. And what's your new mineral?
Hunter's All Game. So, whitetail deer supplement, minerals, everything they need. We can go into detail more about it later, but need to type your corn with it, give you it's a little bit of nutritional value, give them a reason to be there.
That sounds good. So we're just gonna kind of just ease into it a little bit. We're gonna talk a little bit, give you a brief. I want y'all to give y'all a brief history about yourself, what all you do with outdoors, and then we're gonna roll on from there. How about that? So, Buddy, you want to go first? Tell us what a little bit how you got started, and go from there.
So I started at a young age, just like we all did. You know, I started hunting about 7-8 years old. Grew up doing it with my dad. It's just one of the things that sticks with you. You know, and I got my son into it, and it's something we share together. Oh, it's definitely something that can't be replaced.
Oh yeah. So, tell us a little bit about what 365 Outdoors is.
So 365 Outdoors is whatever you do in the outdoors, 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something to do out there.
Oh yeah.
There's seasons for.
Hunting's year round if you're doing it right.
Fishing.
Yeah.
And where can people find 365 Outdoors?
So they can hook us up on YouTube, 365 Outdoors. We got a Facebook group, 365 Outdoors, Instagram. That's all we got rolling for right now.
Well, your Facebook group is growing pretty good.
It is. We got about 700 members.
Yeah, so I got that. All right, so Mr. Todd.
Yep.
Tell us what all you got going on. You got a lot going on.
Man, I have hit the ground running. I tell you, I'm kind of the opposite of Buddy. My father was in law enforcement. Just simply didn't have a whole lot of time. He was on the road a lot. But I took up hunting and. In my 20s, on my own. So it's a little different. And it's hit or miss, clubs here and there, you know. I was hungry, just real hungry, you know. So I just started just building friendships and relationships. I had a off-duty vehicle accident in 2010, and after that, I had a lot of time to figure out what I wanted to do. So, in 2013, I created Alabama Hog and Game Hunters just to try to build, come out from recovering from all that, and build a network of people. And here we are. Look what we got going here.
Oh yeah.
Just a Facebook group. And we're out here making friends, memories,
having a good time,
having a nice time, eating at Buddy's dang good pork chops.
That was working pretty good.
Man.
Glad y'all enjoyed that.
But yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Zachary New with Native Sense 3 years ago kind of allowed me to just run with his brand. Some people didn't like it. A lot did. So here we are. That's what we're doing here with 25 High today is they represent us, if you will. They do some staffing. I don't love all that terminology. I think you're out here working your ass off and showing a product and how it works and documenting things for folks and teaching. That's all we can ask of you. So we're here and appreciate that.
It's more of a relationship than like a staff.
It is. I don't like that.
Promo code 25 high at checkout at www.nativesenseLLC.com.
Yep,
it may be a relationship, but it's still a business.
Well, it is. It is business related, but I mean, you know, it's full circle. Your families, they go through a lot dealing with our lifestyle.
And some of my best friends that I've met throughout my life have been through business.
Yeah, you know, you've got to find your people, as I say. You really do. They're out there.
Yeah.
It's taken, like I said, since 2010. Here we are. It's a slow, methodical process finding those people.
So if you need to get a hold of some, it's a supplement feed to add the pretty much corn or whatever you want.
Yeah,
to.
I've been working on branding something, and you know, everybody wants a piece of the pie, and it's hard to find something. You can't reinvent any wheels in this. It's all been kicked and turned over a million times. But I found a little something I wanted to do and started using a product about 5 years ago. And we don't have this available to us. So, and Buddy knows what I'm talking about. If somebody's got a line on something quality, you're not going to get anything out of them about it. So we had to go to the Midwest to find our ingredients, and that's fine. That's they're good there. That's they grow big deer. They grow big deer.
Well, the grain comes.
But long story short, this has been about a 5-year process, and fella finally earned his respect and some meal time, if you will, to run a recipe. And it is an additive. It's a highly concentrated supplement that you do add to your corn. You don't have to, but you can put it on the ground. I pour it out on rotten logs and stuff. It'll be disappear. And my supplement has a minimal amount, what I call a minimal amount of maintenance minerals. Your does need it. It's good for your fawns, the teat health, and then, you know, they stop eating it. Y'all told me to keep it clean. their bodies get full. It's kind of like the gourmet meal, 5-star restaurant theory. You know, you get a little bitty 2-inch filet and 2 pieces of asparagus and a spoonful of potatoes, and somehow you're full. Well, it was what that fella put into it. It was those ingredients. And that's kind of what I've tried to bring to the table. I think attractants for humans. I just do. But I have a nice little attractant that I created and call my own. But, you know, you only got to attract them once. And once they find that food and it gets in them, that, you know, those vitamins and nutrients tell them to come back.
That's fine.
And that's the difference. Is giving that corn pile some value, because it takes so much corn just to make a poop.
Yeah.
And you'll find, we have found, I was proud of this, you'll find that they'll eat less corn. You know, with that said, they're going to eat less corn. You know, and hopefully you spent $15, $19 extra, maybe it saved you a little money in the long run. And gave them some, you know, some herd health. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But one bag, right now what I've got branded is a 6-pound bag that treats up to 400 pounds. So, I mean, there's feeders bigger, but, you know, buy 2 bags.
May I have to pause?
I don't know. You tell me. That's your camera up there.
It ain't raining that bad. It's raining, guys. We're gonna have to fight the rain for a couple days while we're hunting, but Hopefully it'll slack off.
Stopping.
Yep.
And the radar said 9 o'clock was when it's supposed to end.
Well, what time is it?
9 o'clock.
57. Well, I think it might.
Got some Ziplocs in the truck if you want to pause and put a bag on it.
Eh. Well, it sounds like it's starting to slack off a little bit. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
So real quick, we're gonna come back to a little bit of business. What real quick? But how many pounds did you say it would treat?
It's a 6-pound bag, and it treats up to 400 pounds. So you know, you just kind of quarter it out, if you will. I figure, you know, most people carry a bag or two in, so you know, just sprinkle some off the top. But you know, I'm not going to be one that's going to sit here and tell you that you're going to get. You can only get that ingredient to stay in the bag. You know, your minerals and your things, they're going to settle to the bottom. I can't control that. So you know, maybe to pour it out and mix it up to get. You know, you don't want protein pellets and corn, you know, soybeans just sitting to the top, and all your minerals be the last thing that pours out the bag. So I'm just being honest. Shake it up. Shake it up. Get it mixed up in there before you pour it out.
Yeah. So we're going to talk. We're going to gear it a little bit more toward what we got going on right now.
There you go.
What our goals are.
Yep.
We're out here in the middle of a huge section of public land in the middle of the state, north middle-ish state of Alabama.
Well, this is south.
We ain't
central.
Never been. Not yeah.
Not
we,
to y'all.
Yeah, not.
To,
it's way up north for us.
Yeah, yeah,
this
we
is
way southy. Up there.
Yeah.
He considered this. He was up north
hunting. Yeah, it got cold, didn't it? He got cold, didn't it?
Yeah. Shoot, after the day I had, I might as well have been in... I don't know, Missouri or something. All the stuff I saw. We'll get into that here in a little bit.
Yeah, he got an eye for
it. I decided to save most of my story for the podcast, so yeah. You'll get to see their reactions to it as well.
But tell us. I mean, I spent most of the day with you, but I want you to break it down. What you think, what we've seen, far side, stuff like that, and what you think your game plan is going to be going in tomorrow. Me and you ain't even sat here and talked about it at all either. So what do you think you want to do?
Real quick, not to interrupt, but not necessarily don't need a mic, but y'all hold your mics a little closer.
About like this.
Yeah, that should be good. Yeah, that's perfect.
I got this.
Everybody to know, we got here late last night. By the time we laid down, it was about 1 a.m. So me and Kate slept in just a little bit. We got up this morning.
I still got up at 5:15 and left to go hunting.
Well,
but whatever.
Up at like 6. new to the property. Property's new to us. We don't know where we're going. You know, I'm sure a lot of people's done the same. So we go do some scout. First place we go to is Eden's. We come across nice rugs, grapes everywhere.
So talk, if without being too specific, because we don't want to give away a spot.
Yeah.
If it turned out to be good, but try to tell what type
you
of
won't
like
even
terrain.
Give up where you are in the state, much less a spot.
Hey, people can figure it out. There's some detectives on the internet.
Everybody knows, bro.
But oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's the reason we did this at night.
Yep. But talk a little bit of, if you can, about like what terrain features were good and like just stuff like that, habitat types.
Oh yeah. So this is the most hilly country I've ever hunted.
I enjoy it.
it is different. And a lot of people know I hunt North Missouri. That's different terrain from South Alabama where I live. This is by far, it will wear you down.
Oh yeah.
So we get away from the truck and time and distance gets away from me and Kate. I never realized how far we got off in there really, you know, I did. And we find all this deer time, we way off in there. I mean, there's fresh grapes, there's
there's old scrapes, you know, been rained in and whatnot, and rubs here and there, big ones, small ones, you know, just plenty of bucks out. Mm-hmm. There's multiple bucks in that hole. So we decided to stay a little bit while we stay 30, 35 minutes or so.
Yeah, problem.
We didn't see nothing. We got to be about lunchtime. We come on out of there to try and check out another spot, try and make our day of scouting. Yeah. And so we go to, we come back here, we eat a couple sandwiches, and we get back to the woods. And when I left the truck, I come across a hill that made me rethink about going home. I seen that hill, and I said, boy, you're messing up.
They'll sneak up on you down here.
I went down that hill anyway. The whole time I went, it was just up and down, up and down, up and down.
Yeah, you'll walk them. You literally had to walk a mile to find a gradual slope out. Yep. I've had some experiences down here in these bottoms and find myself where I didn't have the energy to get out. I had to walk a long way because I couldn't make the climb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that spot I was hunting today, it was almost vertical down to where it leveled out. But there was about probably 150 yards of just straight down. It was probably 20 yards from the top to the bottom, but it was about 150 yards of land straight down.
It's interesting. You got a little bit of everything here.
We'll have to beep that out.
Because it is a significant landscape.
It is.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good.
I'm passionate about this place.
Keep going. I can edit it out.
This is the buddy was talking. Well, it's got every transition, every transition, and it's surrounded by the forest, which is it's managed pretty well, but there's also areas that have never seen a machine. It's untouched. Staying sure not uncharted, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's thick. It's swampy. You'll see some big old broadleaf plants that you know that y'all are probably more used to seeing that down there, but that's odd to us.
Mm-hmm.
Coming down here and seeing, and then the further north you go through Alabama, all that changes. But we have the pleasure of the hogs changing the landscape on the regular down here too, so that makes it a little more fun.
Oh yeah.
So, buddy, what you think you gonna? What's your gonna be your first attack tomorrow? What, from what you seen today? What's the game plan?
So this evening I didn't see much sign where we went, and definitely going to that spot we went in this morning. Yeah, you know, in this big spot, there's plenty of room. I hope you're in there with me. I'm gonna need some help dragging him out.
Yep.
My phone will be in a dead spot.
We're gonna need that call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are calling. What'd you call it? What'd you call the machine?
What's
the P-cycle or something like that?
Oh, the bicycle. That's the estercycle.
Yeah, the estercycle. Yeah, I like that. The estercycle.
Native Sense 1 estercycle.
Yeah, yeah. We going to call you.
Yeah, well, I'll ride my bike over.
We going to hook that card up to it, and then we going to push from the back end.
I did have it fastened up on that, but I found that I wasn't enough man to pedal it with anything behind me. So if I threw a deer on there, we were walking that out anyway.
I'm you know, a goal right here is
you can get a lot of equipment in with
it. Oh yeah, I bet. The goal right here is for us to be in a bind tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
That's we wanna be in a bind tomorrow. We wanna kill two deer and
I
have
to kill a buck and doe tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can kill a buck and doe tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if we got four deer down,
you know what's going to happen.
Ain't nobody
going to
show up.
I can tell if we got four deer down in there.
Oh,
I can guarantee you something's going to happen. I ain't hunting on Saturday, and I'll go hunting Sunday.
Well, y'all need to field dress them. Go ahead and hang them up. Just do the whole nine yards.
Yep.
Right there in the bushes, yep. Find you a creek.
So, Todd, you had a lot more experience than us out here, I'd assume. But what are some of the things that you look for out here to try to find deer and stay on deer?
Well, I failed at that today. I failed at that today. What I expected looked entirely different than it did this time last year. But what I'm finding around here, and you know, if we're buck hunting, I've seldom see one in the bottom, so to speak. And if they're in the bottoms, it's a kind of a gnarly transition, if you will. It's a real quick, you know, in up and out, you know, pretty decent cover kind of thing. Not to say they don't cruise them when the acorns were on the ground, but most of my experiences, all of them actually, have been on ridges in open mature pines. You know, back to the acorn thing. 2 weeks ago, I would have seen a handful of young bucks. Usually, on this hardwood sloping hillside that was pretty open. Well, that's changed drastically and rapidly. They're not even using those footpaths, so I've got to figure out where they went off that hill over there.
Yeah.
For one, but that's where I have found them. I have done my experiences down here are kind of in the summertime. See, you're gonna have to edit this too. It's gonna give that away. But anyway, I get to see a lot of deer activity in the summertime hog hunting.
Yeah.
And they're not as skittish, but I kind of feel like their mannerisms are the same. They're just a lot faster when we've stomped in the woods for a couple of weeks.
Oh, for sure.
And today, I don't know if it was the same ones. It could have been two, three, or five, or it could have been the same ones just looped around. But today they too were way up on high pine ridges. Those were.
It's crazy how different hunting styles show you different things. Because I
see, you know, y'all found hecka activity low.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like different hunting styles. Like I haven't necessarily, to me, I could be so wrong on this, but what I've noticed out here, and this is my second year hunting out here, and I've only really hunted here probably five hunts, but what I've noticed, I just focus on thick stuff.
Yep.
And I don't really care as much about the topography or the terrain as much as most people probably do. And I find deer in thick stuff pretty much no matter where it is on the elevation. And like today I saw a doe in a fairly low saddle headed to go through a bottom to a clear cut, or an old clear cut. And then this afternoon had a pretty exciting hunt.
Kind of an aggressive transition.
Yeah, I mean, it was an open pine ridge, and then right in that saddle, it was a little bit higher stem count, younger trees, and then hardwood bottom, and then really, really thick young pines.
A little bit of everything.
Real quick, guys. Sorry, I'm having to play dad a little bit by telling them to be quiet. We are in a campground right now.
It'll be all right. So y'all's, what more so than just what y'all saw, what terrain and, like, habitat were y'all seeing a lot of the sign in? As far as, like, the hills, saddles, ridges, yeah.
Yeah, it was about 50-50, so they were fucking up. Found some beds down in the bottom, rubs on the bottom. Going up the hill, they was scraping some rubs on the, you know, halfway up the hill. up on top of the ridge, the same thing.
So
I missed the mark on sign. That's what I was referring to. It's changed over there. Well, it's not what I was expecting. And we had rain. You know, they hadn't done a whole, hadn't been a whole lot of activity over there yet. Like I say, the does I experienced, I'm pretty sure they were laying down before I came through. I got them up.
Yeah, I think one big difference from last year, and which could lead into, which definitely is leading into a change throughout the whole season, is last year where I hunt near college, and then the few times I came over here, you'd roll your ankle on acorns just about everywhere. And now there's just not as many acorns. When you can find them, it's great. But there's just not as many as there was last year. Oh, I found plenty today.
Generally speaking, we had one of our better acorn crops this year up here.
Really?
Than we have in a while. Yeah, we had I don't know if they'd call them a droughts, but we had a couple, two or three hard years there in the last five. And but this year it was heavy and hard. You get knocked out. I mean,
yeah.
But they're covered up. They're covered up with leaves now.
Yeah.
In a lot of areas like where I was, and you know, they're just souring, laying over there souring now.
Yeah, we seen a bunch of them that was spoiled.
Yeah.
I found some roasted ones.
They'll be moving to more. They have already. They starting to move to different browse.
Mm-hmm. It's really tough though too to like figure out what to focus on sometimes when there are a lot of acorns. Because there's some places out here that I've been where it's for every pine tree there's a mature oak tree right next to it, and you walk through those hills and it's like there's deer everywhere and nowhere all at once.
Oh yeah. Let's see right now, like y'all said, finding a good tree that's dropping acorns is right now, if you can find that, you got something. But, you know, kind of like where I want to go in the morning, where I hope to go in the morning, you know, it's not going to be the best wind.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's kind of like back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember who it was, of course, but I took a lot from one of the podcasts. I imagine it was on Southern Outdoorsman, but whoever it was, that was his focus all the way through February, is finding that money tree. Mm-hmm. That they have favorite trees.
Warren Womack.
I'm sorry?
Warren Womack.
Is it Warren?
I think so. He's the big feed tree guy.
Finding that money, doesn't he call it the money tree?
Feed tree, feed, money tree, something like that.
Fruit tree, something like it. But anyway, he said... There's one out there just about year round, you know. Even if it's real late in the year, that fruit was still yielding, you know, sweet instead of sour.
Yeah, I found I think it was 2 years ago now back home. I found a bunch of live oaks, and they were dropping straight into turkey season. They started dropping in early February, and they quit dropping at opening weekend of turkey season, or sometime early in turkey season.
What part of Alabama was that?
South.
They've been finished for a minute now, but I know where a couple of patches of sawtooths are here.
Oh, yeah. And I will say, real quick.
Drop me a pen.
I got you. It's a hot spot.
No, but I will say, a lot of people talk about how quick acorns spoil. But, man, there's got to be plenty of them that are still potable or edible to the deer, because I've seen deer eat acorns that dropped months ago,
yeah,
and they're still picking through them. And then you got to think about turkey season. Well, most of what I focus on turkey season is oaks that hadn't dropped in months, and they're still in there scratching them up.
I think that's part of his point in theory, is some just... you know, last throughout the season longer, whether they're on the ground or not.
Mm-hmm. I've seen deer, people say that as soon as an acorn like falls in the water, it spoils. But when the river floods, I've seen them there'll be a tree across the water or a log, and then all these acorns be pushed up against it. Deer will be in waist deep water sitting there munching away on acorns.
Come on.
I've seen that one time. So
for them, made it easy for them.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like a bowl of popcorn. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like cereal.
You find you a place at the foot of a hill where they all roll down to. That's a good place to sit too.
Well, I guess I'll get into my story a little bit.
Yeah. Before you get into it, so
go ahead.
Tell me what what you hunt. What sign did you find to put you on that spot?
So, well, before I even thought about sign, I was looking on the map, and I was like, man, what I focus on out here is just thick stuff. I want it so thick you can't walk through it. That's what I want, and it don't matter where it is. So I knew about this one spot where I went in last year, and I found some real big fresh rubs, but I was like, man, there's nothing around here thick enough to hold them. And then it wasn't until a couple weeks later, I was looking on my map, found a thick clear cut. And it was right next to the road. But it was so thick. I was just like, you know, there's got to be something there. So I went in there, and this is for the afternoon. I went in there, and it was fresh burned on the hill. And then there was a real, real, real steep drop. And right where that steep drop of the burn meets the unburned bottom meets the thick, it's just all that coming together. It just right along that transition.
Fine edge, huh?
Oh yeah, right along that transition of the thick to the burn. There was just there was rubs all down it. And so this morning I'd gone into a spot that was similar. I'd found rubs last year, and there was a clear cut and a swamp nearby it. And so I went in there this morning, and I didn't find anything until I got towards the clear cut. But they were all week old, 2 week old rubs. So I wasn't too excited about that. But that spot this afternoon, at least half the rubs were made in the last few days. And I knew something was up there. And
so when you say half the rubs, how many rubs was it?
I probably saw at least 20 in about a 40-yard section, 40, 50-yard section at least. And there's probably some I missed in there too.
Half of them are fresh.
At least half of them were done within the last few days.
Half of 100.
What do you mean?
How many?
Oh, it was about 20, 30 rubs in like 40, 50 yards.
Were they scraping in there pretty good too?
That's one thing I rarely find scrapes out here unless it's in like a saddle on a ridge, and they're usually small scrapes.
I guarantee we seen 20 at least.
I don't doubt it. I just, for whatever reason, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I don't really find too many scrapes, not near the thick stuff. But I went in there this afternoon. I get set up. I hang my camera on a tree, and I'm sitting there on the ground overlooking this real, real steep drop. What was crazy is on that steep stuff, it's almost vertical, and there was tracks all up and down it since the burn, since the rain. And I'm like, my God, what are these deer?
You landed you a little sweet spot today.
It seemed like I wasn't hunting deer, I was hunting mountain goats. I mean, this place is almost vertical.
That's where they are.
But it does level off in the thick stuff. But I get set up where I can see the freshest rubs, knowing that I should probably be set up where that thick stuff meets the bottom. I knew I should probably set up there, but I was like, well, the freshest rubs are over here. So I set up, and I can't see over the crest of the ridge. I'm halfway through filming my intro when I hear ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And I'm like, that didn't sound quite like a squirrel. And then I didn't hear it for a minute, keep filming my intro. And then I swore I heard a buck make a rub down in that thicket. And then I didn't want to get too excited, and I didn't want to convince myself it was a deer, so I convinced myself it was a squirrel. I'm like, I ain't going to get too excited. That's just a squirrel. And by the time I had made up my mind that it was a squirrel, I hear the loudest ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And I'm like, that ain't no squirrel unless it weighs 100 pounds. State record squirrel right there. And it was just over the lip of that ridge, so I just stand up real, real slow. And as soon as I get up, I see tails and bodies, and they're just chasing all over right in that transition. I probably saw 4 or 5 deer down there. And I'm like, my God, it's about to happen. I just got sat down, and I'm about to shoot my 140. You know, I'm oh, my God, first muzzleloader deer. I was jacked up.
So he's a good one.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and then they're down in the bottom. I can't barely see them. It's just thick stuff. And then I see two of them come running up, and I didn't even look at the first one. I just threw my gun up, cocked my hammer, put the crosshairs on the second one. And I'm sitting there following him. He gets to an opening, and I knew it was a buck. And I had that crosshair on his shoulder, and then I decided to look at his head then. It probably wasn't a good idea because I would have messed up bad. He had one good 12-inch cow horn, and that ain't legal right now.
Good thing you look.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it was a buck, but I had to make sure it was legal. But he chased the deer up. They went back, and then I was watching them still standing up, watching him run around there, and he would be, I think it was still the cow horn, he'd be chasing them does, pushing them around. He probably grunted 4 or 5 times that I could hear, and no telling how many that I couldn't. But it was just a really cool interaction, and then it kind of settled down, and I think I heard him running back, and a deer pops up like 30, 40 yards down the hill. And I'm like, what on earth is this? Is that old doe? Should I be looking out behind her? Pops up, and he's got little old bitty spikes on his head. And now, them rubs that I saw definitely were not made by a one-horn cow horn or a little 2-inch spike. I know that for a fact. And there's a doe in there that's just about ready. So I think
he'll run all them spike and cow horn off here in a minute.
That's it there the rest of the trip.
I'm tempted to.
I'd be there.
He'll come out.
The thing is, it's one of them overlooked spots because it's right off the darn road, but it takes a minute to get there. Yeah. And nobody's going to park. Not many people park just on the side of the road to walk into a spot out here at most WMAs. They park in a pull-in, or they park at an intersection, whatever. But the only thing I'm thinking, like, I know those rubs are fresh that were made by something a lot bigger than a spike or a one-horn cow horn because it's rubbed on both sides. But I'm a little iffy on the fact that if that's what I saw, I don't know if that's what the only thing in there, but if there's a doe that's about to get ready, then there's probably something else in there.
Bucks like bucks. You saw two smaller ones that, you know, clearly couldn't handle their own on a decent one. That's probably why he's letting them be all fired up. He'll run them off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you something from experience. A mature buck, he'll let that young buck run her around, wear her down, get her tired, hemmed up. She's tired of running. She's just
let them do the work.
Do whatever she's got to do to avoid him. And then that's when he'll come in.
Let them do the work.
You know, I've seen them come through, doe come through, 4-point come through, 6-point come through, mature 8-point, you know, 50 yards behind them.
Work and that's smart, not hard.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting on, because I ended up moving about 30 yards. Everything kind of calmed down. I wasn't hearing anything. I thought I might still hear one deer in the thicket. And I said, I'm going to sneak real quiet 30 yards up, and I can see that edge. I can get over that crest of the hill, see that edge. And I was expecting either to see one more deer follow them out later or right around dusk. That edge, the way the rubs were set up, it looked like they were just cruising and sniffing for does, intersecting trails and stuff, because they weren't right on the edge. They were up about 10 yards.
I'll add to that. These ridgeline trails around here, and y'all probably know this, but you'll have a fat one about halfway up, and that's your does and your pigs. And there'll be one, a little narrow one, about 3/4 of the way up, almost sometimes on the top. That's that buck cruising that trail down there. He don't want to be down there, you know, with them coyotes and everything else. He stays up there above them. You'll find that a lot around here. Coyotes may have a little something to do with my little honey hole. I did see a lot of coyotes out.
That's
fresh
this morning, or yesterday afternoon and this morning, I went to the same spot, and I heard so many freaking coyotes.
They got fired up at dark.
Oh, my God. I didn't hear any. I didn't hear any at my spot today, but last night and this morning, I thought I was going to have to fight my way in there.
Let me tell you something else, too. Get to your animal pretty quick, because these, they'll respond to gunfire.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt it.
They really will. They'll get just to gunfire.
So I got a question for you, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
So that thicket them deer was coming out of, wind direction. Was the wind coming out of that thicket going into where they were headed, or was it?
Question.
Which way was the wind going?
I don't.
At that time?
I really don't know if it had anything to do with it, but it is interesting that set up on a crosswind, and that wind was blowing straight in from that bottom into that thicket, and they ran into the bottom.
We need to know what that wind was doing so we know how to use that scent.
Well, I've seen bucks before, you know, mature bucks, and when they wasn't with a doe. Yeah, but they looking for, you know, they'll cruise the, say the wind's coming out of the north, they'll cruise the south end of a field or a thicket,
mm-hmm.
30, 40 yards, just, you know, below it, smelling what's up in there.
Exactly.
Smelling what's in that field, what's in that thicket, this, that, and other. That's kind of where I was going with that question. You know, I was curious if that's what they were doing, but I think you were saying that they were chasing already when you saw them.
Yeah, they were chasing.
Yeah.
But that's what I think those rubs were doing. I don't know how the thermals that really act, but at whatever point that the thermals are rising, mm-hmm. I think that's when they're sitting there cruising that edge, because they're 10, 20 yards from the edge of the thicket. And, I mean, I don't know how they keep their footing, how steep that stuff is, but they do.
The thermals will be rising in the morning.
All right. So I need to be back there in the morning, and they're going to be cruising that edge looking for that hot doe.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
And we rise in the morning.
And I'll hopefully be above them. And that's one thing. That spot, I think it was burned about a week or two ago, if that. And I saw there was a section, like you're talking about halfway down.
You don't need to delete that, because everybody knows where that was burned.
they
control burn on every WMA.
That's true. But either way, since the burn, that trail has been turned from black to tan, uh-huh. from just dirt. It's just dirt now. There's no soot in it anymore, uh-huh. on that halfway down trail. But I don't think they use it. I could be wrong. I don't think they use it much during the day. Or I hope they don't, because that's about where I need to sit.
You in a jam up spot, I'd definitely be looking to spend some time there. I'd definitely keep a good eye on what the wind direction's doing. Be very cautious. You don't want to mess yourself up, you know.
That's one thing.
I know you know all that.
Yeah, I'm very glad I didn't spook anything today,
yeah.
because I know for a fact them does are still gonna be in there. Mm-hmm. Even if that spike and that cow horn move out, that does still gonna be there, and they're gonna draw in whatever else is around.
And didn't you say you intentionally accessed the area the long way?
Yes, it's. I could have gone.
Good work.
I could have walked about 300 yards, but I would have walked right where they were chasing.
That's what I'm saying. That's good work.
Good work, buddy.
One more thing about access out here. If you know that your best stuff is on this side of a ridge, and you need to walk kind of down that ridge, walk on the leeward side, on the other side of it, just over that ridge. And it's not necessarily even for visual stuff, but if there's a deer on this side of the ridge and you're walking on just over the top on this side, they ain't gonna hear you. That sound don't travel like that. It'll bounce straight up instead of going straight to them like in flatland.
Well, I'm about ready for a coffee break whenever y'all are.
Shit, it don't matter to me. You got anything to add, Kate?
I'm ready.
I'm ready to kill something.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're back. Took just a break for a minute. It's been a while. We've had a long day. But sorry if the light looks like it changed. One of our batteries died. We're doing the best we can here. We are slightly festive behind us. We're coming into Christmas. For all y'all that are listening, hope y'all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I'm hoping we can get within the next 3 days, I'm really hoping we can bring home a very good Christmas present.
Bring home the bone.
The bone.
Somebody.
That's what I really want to do. So, going forward with this podcast, Zach's told a story. Zach's got us all a little bit jealous right now. We all want to see something. We walked around. We didn't even bump a deer today, buddy. I don't know.
I haven't seen a deer yet.
We saw plenty of signs. Oh, yeah. They exist.
They are here.
They exist in our mind, at least. I just feel like
when I feel sign, I feel defeated already.
so you want to go somewhere and know where there's no sign. Yeah, that's
catch them dead.
Like a blank sheet of paper.
Right. Give them a canvas and they'll come play.
Now, I didn't have any luck with it today, but I did do a scent drag with some subduction. I just didn't walk in the right place is what happened was. I didn't see any sign this afternoon other than a superhighway.
Had you seen any activity whatsoever? I didn't even see any foot
traffic. I saw about 500 squirrels.
That's it.
And I saw the only deer sign that I had, it was about a foot wide trail that was stomped to the ground. Oh. It was completely destroyed. I didn't find anything that made me lean toward hogs. I mean, it was at the peak of a hill. So you said earlier most of them hogs travel about quarter to halfway up those ridges.
Yeah, they're on that halfway mark usually.
Yeah,
that little fat trail.
Yeah, it was at the peak, and it was pretty good. That feels good. It was awesome, but that's all I seen this afternoon. So those squirrels cool? Now I can tell you one thing: there ain't nothing that fool you more than a dang squirrel running through a bottom. Once you hear a deer, you know that squirrel wasn't a deer.
Yeah.
But until then, it drives you insane.
You don't know a squirrel is not a deer.
Yeah. I caught one on video. I bet you that thing was a world record. I bet you it weighed a total of about 2.5 pounds. That gray squirrel.
Y'all got your squirrel guns with you?
I got my 17.
Yeah.
My plan is to shoot either a 6 point with, you know, 1-inch tines on 3 1-inch tines on one side, yeah, or like a, I don't know. I'm not asking for too much, but maybe a 140. But my plan is to shoot me a buck tomorrow and then go squirrel hunting when it ain't raining until Sunday. Sunday, that's when I'm being serious about it. But you're going to have to drop me a pin if I shoot a buck tomorrow.
I can handle that. I am a little bit worried that we're going to be tucked up in tents or just driving around most of Saturday. It's looking pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they say animals don't stop being animals in the rain.
Yeah, but camera gear starts failing in the rain.
And them gunpowder pellets and them muzzle.
Yeah, that's a challenge. Y'all bring you other ones for the forest?
No.
We got one extra in case something fails.
Yeah.
Y'all come over here with me.
So I got a question for y'all too. I guess number one, what was your expectations before you got here, and now that you've spent a day walking around, how has your expectations changed?
So you're basically asking us is how our innocence has fooled us.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Okay. My legs hurt. I want to go home. No, I don't. I really don't. I love this, but I'm hurting.
Tiny portion.
I can tell you what, that tiny portion has taken a boot and put it up my rear end. How about you?
I'll explain to them how I was when I got to the truck tonight.
It was so funny. I walked this afternoon. I walked close to a mile back. Close to a mile. I hadn't sat down and went through it. Anyway, where I was set up, it got dark 15-20 minutes before legal shooting light was technically over, so I couldn't see. When I can't see, I get up. So I was getting up, and I got back to the truck by 5:30, and which is technically about 10 or 15 minutes past legal, you know. I don't know. I hadn't looked at the time today. But so I'm sitting there, and we're on top of a mountain where we parked at, and I got 5GE. I don't know what that E means, but it was pretty great. And I was sitting there playing on.
Quite contrary.
I was sitting there. We got nothing right here. But I was sitting there playing on my phone, and I look behind me and I see a flashlight coming through the woods. I'm like, well, he don't look like he's but what 200 yards, so I'm expecting to walk up any minute. About 25 minutes later, I see his flashlight peeking around about 100 yards away from me. I'm like, good God, I don't know what he's been going through. And he came up. He finally got the truck. I think he was ready to go home at that point. He said he was done. He said, I ain't coming back here no more. Yeah. He said, This is it. I'll never see this spot again. I guarantee it.
You did. To walk to get out.
I said, come on now. I said, it couldn't be that bad. But he did. He did a little bit more than I did. What, luckily, the spot that I – so, basically, what we did when we got to our spot today, I took – we had two roads that we could go down, and we flipped a coin. Whoever won the coin toss got to pick which way they went. He won the coin toss. So it ain't my fault that he ended up going down all that. He could have just as well sent me through it. I'm glad you didn't. I appreciate that. I'm glad you're looking out for your buddy over here. I mean, neither of us seen deer, so.
I knew when I got to that hill, it was just one hill. I crossed about five bottoms going off in there. And it was the first one I come to, and I was walking in there, and I looked down that hill, and I'm looking at it like this, you know. As a boy, you're going to mess up.
Yeah.
And I start easing down this hill, and it was in a road, you know, and it's gravel. It's one of them hills, even on that gravel, you better watch your step. And I finally get to the bottom of it, and I'm walking and walk up the other hill. It flattens out, and then it's another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's another one. And then I get down in there where I hunted.
It keeps drawing you back down too, doesn't it?
Yeah. I get in there and I hunt, and I'm sitting there, I'm just rubbing my legs. I said, man, this is going to be bad coming out.
It is.
And I get to coming out, and I get to that last hill, and I look up that thing like this right here.
45 degrees, at least.
So boy, this is going to be bad. I start up this hill about every 10 foot. I had to stop, double over. Ooh, it was bad.
That one hit. I'm not even kidding. I'm not joking at all when I tell you this. That one hill that I walked down, I had a pretty easy walk with the exception of about a 250-300 yard stretch, and it was completely vertical. And I'm not even going to joke around and tell you, I was thinking the entire time, I can do this. I think I can. I was pulling out the Thomas the Train. I think I can. And I was just creeping along, and I get to eventually get to where I was a little bit out of breath, and I step on the off side of a tree and just lean back for a minute.
That's all you can do, is get on the other side of that tree and just lean back. Yep.
It's like, I'm a South Alabama boy. You know what a hill is for me? Do you have any idea what a hill is for me? That's a 10-foot incline over there. That's about a hill for me.
So I got something I want to add real quick.
You're a prairie dog.
To all them gentlemen and ladies that hunt this place on the regular, my hat's off to them.
Well,
Spot unknown. But congratulations.
You win. I don't know what. You win.
I have a lot of wild experiences here. It's a fun place to carry a weapon around in the woods. The animals are very, they're very reactive. When you get that scent going at the right time, and you better be ready. That's part of why I didn't seal the deal last year on a nice 7-point. I couldn't get him to stop once he got on that estrus. I couldn't get him to stop to save my life. Oh, I was slapping my feet. I was stomping on the stand. I had a grunt in my mouth, stomping on the stand.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. I got to put my grunt call in my backpack. And,
he sped up. He sped up. But so he did exactly what I wanted him to, just too fast.
So I got a question for you. So, you know, I learned last night, but it took me a while to finally ask Cade.
Right.
But I asked Cade, and he set me straight. So with the native scents.
Yeah.
The seduction and the deception. I didn't know which one was which, you know, and while we got the opportunity, it'd be a great time to really.
Yeah, well,
I know I can't be the only one that don't know, that didn't know the difference.
Well, I guess there's some innuendos there, but I just kind of think of estrus would seduce you a little more.
There it goes.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
There's some little innuendos there, if you will, but just kind of think that seduction would probably do a little more with estrus. Yeah, mm-hmm. Estrus is a little, you know, in our language, a little more hot. Seducive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with the deception just being the non-estrus doe urine, that's why it's called that. Deceiving them. Yeah, yeah.
It's the best way I can describe deception. Like, the biggest scent company that sells something similar is that Evercomb. But the difference between that and the native scents is native scents is 100% natural.
Well, it's just dopey. Mm-hmm. And my thing with it is it's everywhere. You can't go wrong with
it. It is not just dopey.
Deception?
It is farm fresh doe urine shipped to your door that you'll have it within about 3 days on ice packs.
Well, I'm aware of that.
It's straight from the deer's.
It is. It is straight from the deer's rear to your doorstep, chilled.
I've never had any other kind brought to my door on ice.
Yep.
That's the only kind I've had.
Mm. Well, that's what sets us apart, I believe, is the care and handling. And our process of getting that estrus, if there's anybody else doing it, they're not even giving themselves credit where it's due. We're not aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only company, like, I've heard of people selling, quote-unquote, farm fresh, but it'll sit on a shelf without refrigeration for a year before it sells.
Well,
or, you know what I still have? I'm just going to make this statement. We're going to move on. You know what I still ain't never seen?
What's that?
I ain't never seen a deer have its urine taken out of it in a full vacuum of an area.
And you won't.
Okay.
And you won't. They're not pets by any means. So we try to stress them out as least as possible with least amount of people and the two gentlemen that take care of them. You know, it's a delicate process. It really is, and we have to. The best interest is in the health and care of the animal. We're a breed stock program, so we're not just squeezing the pee out of them. There's a right after we do in fact collect this conception estrus, they're inseminated. It's just like a it's like cattle. These animals have value, mm-hmm. you know, stock value. 150, 180 pound doe, some of them.
Dang.
So, I mean, y'all want to talk about the process?
No, we've had.
Yeah.
I had a podcast with Zach right. that we really broke down that process. All if right. anybody wants to hear it, we can go back. Y'all can go back in our podcast. It's available.
There you go.
And if, two guys that's extracting that stuff. Hey, I appreciate it.
And if y'all would, I'm not doing it. Yeah, if y'all would like to learn more about it, I'm sure other than the podcast, we can point you in the right direction. But I think we're kind of running a little bit low on time. It's about time for bed for too much longer. But I got one last question about hunting, and this can go to all three of y'all, but mostly y'all two, Caden, Buddy, since y'all have never been here.
I've been here before.
Here?
No,
I'm talking about here, hunting.
Okay, go ahead.
Hunting. But this can go for all three of y'all since, you know, landscape's always kind of changing, as we talked about. But after being here for a day and seeing what you saw, doing what you did, what are your goals for the rest of the hunt? I'm sure they're probably different than what they were when you were driving up here. So, what's your goals for the rest of the weekend?
First of all, my goal is to actually see a deer.
That's number one.
If I can see a doe, we'll move forward from there. But I mean, really legit, that is my first objective, is to see a deer in a natural area.
I don't know what I'm doing, and I've seen six or eight, so y'all need to just try harder.
But I mean, today was just pure scout. And there ain't no telling how many deer we actually bumped out that we didn't see because our eyes were glued to the ground looking for sign. I mean, and how many were 100 yards away from us that bumped out?
A lot of people make walking, you know, in the woods.
I mean, we were looking. We were dry. We weren't because we know that this rain's coming in, so we weren't worried about as much about leaving our own presence there, because with all this rain that's coming in, it's going to be washed out. It's probably already washed out with this little bit that we've had this afternoon.
But we didn't leave a whole lot of.
No, we didn't.
And, you know, think about this. You know, how many times did we walk 10 yards and then just stop and just look around, check the edges, looking at the ground, looking for rubs, and then walk 20 feet or so.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't see deer just slow stalking around like that.
Really, we were slow. We were slow and methodical, but we were our eyes. I was looking for rubs. I don't. It's just really cool to me, rubs, because where I hunt at home, I never see rubs hardly. Very rarely. I see scrapes all the time, but we never get much rub action going on down there. Where I am.
Fine ones next year.
Fine ones.
Fine.
Really. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. But, I mean, in southern Alabama, there is rubs. But where I particularly hunt, it's very rarely I run across one. So,
and I have the same thing, you know, and I'm just right across the highway from you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing.
You know, y'all talked about not seeing many scrapes.
We saw plenty.
No, I didn't see any, but yeah.
We saw 20. I'll take you up to the Cahaba right now, tomorrow, and it looks like they got hogs. Those deer are kicking the pine straw off everything up there.
Oh yeah. Now, I will say, you get into some of these SMZs that cut up through a clear cut that's pretty thick. You find a cedar on a down in there, it can be as big as Cade's thighs, and you'll see a rub on it. I mean, there's some little.
That's on this property.
There's some little pockets. I've got a picture on my phone somewhere. There's some little pockets where you will see a rub on a Midwest sized cedar tree. I mean, it does not.
You'll find wraparounds around here.
Oh, yeah. And it
on my thighs.
I have thunder thighs.
They rub together, don't they?
They grown men, what they are.
You'll come up on some in some odd places around here that'll take your breath away, make your hair stand up.
Now, talking about the overlooked spots, like what I'm kind of looking for. There's a little turnoff, and right next to that turnoff is a big nasty creek bottom, and just across that big nasty creek bottom, probably 200 yards off the road, there's a pretty wide SMZ that cuts up through a pretty thick clear cut. And in the middle of that SMZ, about halfway up, there's a ridge that cuts through it. SMZ, by the way, stream management zone, it's where they don't cut, where there's water. But there's like a little ridge that cuts through the middle of it, and then where that ridge...
No, I was just fixing to ask him what
protected,
that was.
protected
watershed.
SMZ is stream management zone, and they don't cut... any clear cut you see... the big hardwoods down next to the water. But that's basically what it
like
is.
The buffer zone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there's one of those that cuts up through this thick clear cut, and from about halfway on one side to where the clear cut meets the SMZ, meets the big nasty bottom, is where that ridge kind of peters out. About halfway down that ridge, there's a rub on a cedar tree about as big as my thigh. And it's probably still there. It's probably been hit this year. I just haven't been in there and checked it out. But it's a full big old rub, and you'll walk down to where everything meets together where that ridge funnels out. And last year there was about 4 scrapes right there.
Sounds so, like you've got that little 5-star opportunity right there. You've said you had some young pines up to one direction, a clear cut another, this hardwood perimeter, and mm-hmm. then your ridge.
He's all over the deer right now.
That's that spot. I keep saying that word, but that's that.
Yeah, buddy.
That's that intersection. You know.
Now that spot in particular, I found last year, and I hadn't been back there this year. But like I say, it was one of them overlooked spots. But it's like you're talking about.
You've got every little habitat wrapped up in one there.
You know, the thing is, buddy, you know, if I found something like that, just that sign everywhere, yeah. I'd take you with
me. I'd post it on Facebook.
I found it last year. I don't know how it is this year. I'll drop you a pin if y'all get fed up with what y'all's doing.
Well, I tell you this.
If you end up going to Missouri with me, you know, I'm gonna point you in a good direction. That's just the kind of guy I am.
Look, hey now, how many times have I said before we even started recording? How many times have I said, "Man, I'm finding a lot of stuff next to thick stuff." I'm finding a lot of stuff next to thick stuff, and I've also offered.
We gotta find that stuff first.
I've also offered to drop y'all pins, and y'all just look at me like I'm crazy, and then turn away and start messing with the tin or something.
I ain't heard him offer me a pin.
What about that spot I found all them tracks in the road? I'm like, here it is.
Worst tracks in the road.
I'll show you the picture.
The tracks in the road today. He is trying to put somebody on them.
I need somebody
reason.
To go
Y'all
there.
Y'all must have had that conversation that in that trailblazer over there.
I think he knows it's that spot.
Buddy, look at this.
I tell you what, drops that pin. We'll check it out as the morning.
You see that?
Oh, yeah.
You see that? All right, now look at this. Every little hole right there is tracked since the rain.
Yeah.
And that's in the road. I know.
Hey, you got
he offered this
to
me.
He offered this
opportunity to me. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Oh.
He asked me if I had my bow with me.
All right, so.
I'll drop that pan just
so.
He's trying to give somebody on it.
We have a bit. We're about to end this because we've been out here a while. Right, and it's time to go to bed. We got to get up early. We got to go hunt. But we have a little bit of a tradition that we ask all of our guests on our channel. We got 2 questions for you. Number 1, and we'll start with you, Mr. Todd. What is your dream hunt? Where and what animal?
I always had trouble answering that because I didn't know if the opportunity would ever even present itself. So, you know, I'm not one to fantasize about.
You win the lottery. You win the lottery. You can go hunt wherever you want. Where are you going?
I'm heartbroken over a deer in Kentucky right now. I don't know if I still want to find him. Yep. I do, but I'm a whitetail deer hunter. I did have my first out-of-state experience in Kentucky this year, and it was the animal was insane. And they have does up there as big as our year and have 2-year-old bucks. Uh-huh. It's crazy. So to say I don't have hunt goals after that experience, yeah, they're growing. Right now, though, we're still here looking for a personal best.
Yeah, that's good. I respect that.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, what's yours?
Everybody knows I love whitetail.
Yeah, boy.
What's your favorite? I mean,
My favorite, I have a unjustifiable respect for whitetail, but my dream hunt is Alaskan caribou.
Okay. Well, to answer your question, mine is whitetail, and it's always going to be whitetail. But I mean, I've got some other animals on my bucket list, but you know, but I've got a bunch of different places I want to go kill them. I've killed some in Missouri. I want to go to Indiana, Ohio, Saskatchewan.
That's too cold.
I want to take that Kodiak tent right there. I want to hit every one of them. I want to, right behind that, I want to kill a moose. Everybody wants to kill an elk. I would like to kill an elk. It's on my bucket list. But a moose comes before the elk. For me, because they're more dangerous.
Heck yeah.
They are that.
That's what it comes down to. They're huge.
Yeah.
All right. And the last question, you can have a little fun with it. And I know it sounds crazy, but if you could shoot any... Yeah. If you could shoot and hunt any animal currently alive or extinct that you know of, what would it be? My personal favorite is a saber-toothed tiger. Just to give you an example, extinct, anything, whichever one of y'all want to go first.
That's actually what was popping up, but since you went there, I'd have to have me a mammoth.
That's pretty style.
That's a good one. So, I've always had a thing. I want to go kill an elephant.
There you are.
I mean, that's within grasp, if I can afford it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So, basically, you want to kill an elephant, and he wants to kill an elephant that's covered in hair, and that's about 3 times bigger.
I like to cuddle with him a little bit.
But
hey, on that note, though, those deer in upper Kentucky, Kansas, Missouri, they have that nice thick coat on them,
man. They got
beautiful coat of hair,
red tint to them,
but it's thick looking,
yeah,
it's thick, almost like a Labrador Retriever or some of them.
So next time you come down my way,
down here,
find a way to my house, I got some on the wall,
yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen some on the wall.
I love them.
But you can compare mine right there by Alabama, South Alabama white.
It's an entirely different coat, ain't it?
Completely different.
It's beautiful.
So there's rain coming in.
It is.
We have got to get this wrapped up. We really appreciate everyone watching. We appreciate you, Mr. Todd Brock, and you, Mr. Buddy Ziggler.
365 Outdoors.
Yeah. Check them out. 365 Outdoors, Native Sense, All Game. And, Threads Custom Bowstrings, check them out as well. And
I gotta get
We are getting done out of here. Here comes the rain. Appreciate y'all watching. Always remember to live life 25 high.